arches the AAA. So I'll
AAA. Nice.
Ha ha. And if you could just state your name and address for the record.
So my name is Rich Eisenhower with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. So 1120 Southwest 5th Avenue, Suite 800, Portland, Oregon, 97204.
Okay.
I'm Stan Chesser, architect, 2337 Northwest York Street, Portland.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Sure.
Hi, good afternoon. This is a briefing for Ankeny Alley Arches, and this is staff presentation. And the Ankeny Alley Archway proposal is a partnership between PBOT and the Ankeny Alley Association. And they're looking into installing two archway signage at each end of the alley. And we have two guests here, Rich Eisenhower and Stan Chesser. This is a zone map of the location of the alley. It's the block between Southwest 2nd and 3rd Avenue. I have photos of the areas. This is a view from Southwest 2nd Avenue looking west. And this is a closer look to that same area. This is a look, a view looking south from that area and looking north. This is from that same area looking east toward a Saturday market. And this was on a Sunday, so it was pretty busy, and you can notice also how the pedestrian circulation happens on each side with crosswalks. This is a view from Southwest 3rd Avenue looking east.
Is that Voodoo Donut? Is that what all those people were waiting for?
Voodoo Donut line?
Yes. That is Donut. Voodoo Donut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
And this is a closer look at that same intersection. This is a view looking west from that intersection with the Voodoo Donut on the right side. This is looking south. And this view is looking north. I also included two views of historical views of arches in Portland. The one on the north is on Burnside, looking east, and the one on the lower photo is on Southwest 3rd Avenue. Three main items that you may want to discuss: the size, the width and height, and design of the archways, the location of the archways within the alley, and the impact of the archways on the pedestrian movement. So that's the end of my presentation.
Thank you.
I was wondering if we were going to have the presentation next. Do we have in the interim? Do we have any questions for staff? Okay. All right.
Once again, so Rich Eisenhower, I represent the Portland Bureau of Transportation along with the architect Stan Chesser of the project. So Ankeny Alley, I mean, there's some pictures, just general kind of we weren't aware of the site area. But just some general history of that. So basically, Peapod's here in partnership with the Ankeny Alley Association. So we're looking to install the two Ankeny Alley signage over the alley at each end. Ankeny Alley itself is, you know, downtown at this location. It represents about over 20,000 square feet of area, so roughly the size of Director Park. In his history, starting in this basically the spring of 2011, we were proposed by our, I don't know if he's commissioner or mayor at the time, I've forgotten, Sam Adams, to look at with the businesses to close Ankeny Alley for outside seating for the restaurants. So we took the council in June of 2011 that authorized us a pilot to close down Ankeny Street and put tables and chairs in the street area itself that you see what is in that middle picture that existed from 2011 up to the work when we changed in 2016. We went back to council later that year to make it a permanent closure. So we had support from the neighborhood, the businesses, so everyone wanted to continue at the time. So from then we talked about, you know, how do we look at, you know, other options of the space. There was, in 2015, Portland Development Commission at the time had a livability grant that was granted to the Ankeny Alley Association for $82,000. That money was looked at, how do we expand the space? So we started looking at, we had about 110 feet of curb-to-curb distance on 3rd Avenue, which was way more than was needed for our transportation purposes. So we decided to kind of reshift our striping and bike lanes, things like that on 3rd Avenue to create what we call Ankeny Plaza, which is a space that goes from Burnside to Ash Street that crosses Ankeny there. And at the same time, in this was in 2016, we redesigned what the alley looked like and how it was used. So instead of having pedestrians focused down the really two narrow sidewalks on each side with all the tables in the street area, we redistributed all the tables and put them directly adjacent to the restaurants and open up a 10-foot wide pathway right down the middle of the alley. Before we did that work, we did come to this commission. I think all of you weren't here, I believe. And just talk about in general, you know, we also talked about what is the future of Ankeny Alley. We've done everything right now with really interim materials on a temporary basis. You know, Peapod, we have a livable street strategy that we took to council last year that was passed by council in October. And we're looking at, you know, ways how do we create more livable spaces out of our public rights away. So we've used Ankeny Alley, Ankeny Plaza kind of as a pilot to kind of test out new ideas, try new things. But we do have longer vision, larger goals for Ankeny Alley to, you know, build it out in permanent materials, things like that. A lot of it comes down to the funding. I think, you know, $750,000 to $1 million to do full improvements, you know, to tear out all the asphalt, curb, sidewalks, to build in with pavers and concrete and everything like that. General history, I mean, we went over the kind of the pictures of what it looks like today. So regarding the signs, I'm going to pass over to Stan. He can talk about the sign locations and the details of the signs.
Yes, we realized that the alleyway was sort of known as Ankeny Alley to the people that occupy it, the tenants and that kind of thing, but it isn't really necessarily publicly known as Ankeny Alley, I don't think. So there's an Ankeny Alley Association, and you know, that has a maintenance agreement with Peapod, and that takes care of it. But we kind of looked at a number of different ideas about how do we bring name identity to the area and or to the space. And in some regard, the extension on 3rd Avenue there, creating the plaza, became, it's like, where does the alley stop and where does the plaza start? And so we kicked around, you know, blade signs, various different ideas, and finally came to the idea that we wanted to put kind of an archway with a forming a gateway basically into the alley itself, and have that be, you know, become a strong identity for the place. And so then it became, what does that really want to look like? So we tried picking up on some of the current materials and the light posts and the the gateways or the materials we put in for the seating definitions and that kind of thing. So we came up with the idea of the black, you know, columns with the archway sign band, and relatively simple. We have two different options that we've presented to. We've had signage companies help us price out, and it's kind of comes. Yeah, this is the simpler model. Like, what do you call it? It's a tube steel with finials on the top and a foot on the bottom, and the sign band being a. We've kicked around whether it's cut out letters versus applied letters, whether it should be on both sides or just at the entryways. I think the current thinking is that the sign band itself will be a solid panel with letters applied to it on both sides of it, so you can see it from both directions when you're walking through. And so this is the less expensive column model, and fairly simplified. And then the next one is more of an ornate column that kind of picks up on the light posts there. So there's a pretty significant dollar difference between the two. And so we're juggling a number of things with PDC and with PBOT and who pays for the installation, who pays for the materials, da 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 da. So I can see an argument for both directions of being more ornate, some regarded the more ornate may be a little confusing with the competing potentially with the light posts. I don't know. It's fairly subjective, I guess. But I can see where the simpler column is satisfactory, and this either one of them would be acceptable. I don't know if the commission has a. Direction with that they would require, but it does come down to some funding issues too. And then in terms of the location of the gateways, I think the illustration on the right here probably shows it a little bit deeper into the alley than we actually are planning on it. We're going to pull it towards the west a little bit, looking this direction. Yeah, this is more off the point of where the seating dividers are. And then the east side, I think we need to manipulate that a little bit just to see how that cross. I think there's some talk about changing that crosswalk a little bit and stuff, so realigning that. So where specifically that wants to sit is still a little bit in flux. But as Rich said, it's kind of one of the component pieces to the bigger picture that we had presented to the commission a number of years ago with paving and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to make these be a bolt down kind of system that can be picked back up if we can ever get the funds to do the paving and that kind of thing. So I don't know that if that's explanatory enough, but if you have questions, I'm glad to answer them.
I do have a question. So is the idea that you guys are hoping to put paving in at some point? So like some sort of textured paving or cobblestones or
yes.
something.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice if he would have been able to put those into the drawings just to sort of see how it relates to each other as opposed to after the fact. You know what I mean? Like sort of assume it's going to happen. I'm just wondering if you had the opportunity to look at that or.
Well,
then afterwards you're putting the new paving around this thing. And I guess
what would have to happen is they'd get lifted out of there. And because we did some temporary, PBOT did some temporary asphalt in there because there was some ponding going on in there and stuff, and it was, you know, fairly undesirable. And the pitch isn't the best in terms of getting drainage off of there right now. So
right. Well, that's why it seems like also where it starts and how the paving is relative, you know, is the paving going to be straight or angled relative to the sign? If that could be coordinated, it would look more unified.
I think a lot of the long term, you know, what that paving, are we bringing in those historic cobblestones that you see further down at first?
Right.
I think, you know, those are things we'll bring back once we get there to kind of have that more contextual conversation of those existing elements and how
right.
they
right.
I
mean, it just seems like it might be nice to design it together and then just say phase one is the entry and then phase two will be this cobblestone. I was my only first thought, just to make sure it's all look unified because it's such a great thing to do and it's all part of a big picture.
I agree. I mean, we did early on some renderings with pavement in there and, you know, a couple different patterns that were potential, but it does come down to, you know, how much.
And I totally get that. Yeah. It just, it would be a phasing thing.
Yep.
Do it now, but in the future, at least you guys have thought about how it relates to
right.
each other.
I have something kind of to piggyback on that, which is just the low railings that are existing in there. It seems like if those are going to stay, you know, we would probably want to coordinate, you know, the new archway elements with what these really look like. And so it would be good to maybe take a closer look at these if these are, you know, is the intent that these are going to remain?
They are. That is the intent.
Okay. And are these just painted steel? Is
yes. And okay. So the simpler column design that I was referring to really is a more closely aligned to the components in here. The columns are probably going to be a little bit bigger tube steel, but I think those are 3-inch tube steel. We're going to use 4 to 6 inch, you know, a little bit beefier, but similar materials and finials, you know, finials and that kind of thing. So it's in that regard, it matches that system better mm-hmm. for the simpler one. The, you know, then there's the question whether we want to contrast that or get more ornate, I guess.
Sure.
But it would all be okay. same family in terms of painted black and that kind of thing, so it would have a similar aesthetic.
But, I mean, there's also the coordination between, you know, it looks like in plan that you've got these slight offsets where you're going to put the arches, where as this, if this were a family of elements, then you could just do one tall corner post, you know what I mean? That would pick up the arch, and then the fencing
separate.
would come into that. I mean, it's just, it seems a little haphazard, I have to say, just in terms of trying to come back with, you know, these arches now that you already have the railings in place. And I guess I also just sort of question, you know, in plan, both of these feel like they're a little bit offset just because they tie into the railings on one side, but not the other side, even though I definitely see that they're centered between, you know, curb to curb or building to building. But is there, I mean, do those have to touch at that corner, I guess, is my real
question.
I don't
think they do need to touch, actually. And, you know, I think they could go, you know, in essence, be detached. I mean, I think that's probably a better thing than trying to integrate them because they are completely different elements. And so I think pulling them away from the corner a little bit, both to the east and to the west, would be a better system. I think the challenge on the east end is the, you know, how far do we want to get, can we get out into the edge of this edge of the curb, you know, can it get out to the edge of the curb or should it pull back? Just because the way the street angles right there, it's a somewhat challenging pedestrian and traffic flow. So.
Okay.
But I think your point's well taken. I think it's, you know, we don't want it to look haphazard either. So.
I'd brought one alternative maybe to see if the association wants to consider. And to answer your question, whether it's ornate or not, I think the heavier base feels more durable. The lack of a base kind of feels almost like a cyclone fence pole a little bit, even with the ornate. I know it's a little bit bigger scale, but thinking of that, I thought, well, if cost is an issue, you could get rid of the arch idea altogether and just go with a single pole and reorientate the banner so that it's vertical, same size, and then you'd cut the cost in half, but still have a more ornamental maybe base. And also just the idea of the arch and the alley, you know, arches signify sort of a more special place that you're getting at. And to me, the single pole with the banner vertical, just a thought. So,
are there other areas in the city that might be candidates for a treatment like this? Or is this a one-off? I mean, is there any thing in the future?
I mean, I'm not aware of. I mean, it's a one-off for this time. I mean, historically, there's other, you know, been arches and things like that done, but nothing that we're planning in the future.
No alleyways that are going to get a similar treatment.
No, I mean, we're looking at, you know, what is Ankeny Alley, the long-term Ankeny Alley, you know, stretching all the way from, you know, Waterfront Park up to the South Park blocks and kind of make it a connected, unified space. I mean,
except for Big Pink being in the way.
I know. A little problem.
Yeah.
And then I have kind of a far-fetched idea about cost, but I agree with Commissioner Roman about the heavier base option being, I think, a little more sturdier looking and more appropriate. But I sit on a committee for vertical infrastructure that Ann Hill, I think is Ann Hill from PBOD, is working on. And they are putting together, what's that?
Put some sensors in them.
Well, I'm going to say maybe you can get the, you know, they're, right, get the cell companies to pay for these and get an RF in there. Because they're going to want to put them in here anyway. You know, they're mid-block or they're going to be looking for places. So they're, you know, the technology is getting smaller. It'll be less intrusive to, and they're going to be designing to an ornamental pole. You know, as part of the system, something to offer the cell companies to pay for. So
good idea.
It goes underground, right? It's not all just on the pole.
Some of it will go in the base.
So it's not
right. It should be fairly hidden for the most part. And there'd be a finial probably coming up similar to what's being shown just as part of the system, I think, but we're supposed to be reviewing some of the design, the RFP for those designs coming up, but maybe there's some synergy there and some ability to get somebody else to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Can I add one thing to my comments earlier for clarification? I do understand the arch on some level, because if this neighborhood association has basically got an agreement to help maintain this street, you know, they're sort of delineating on some level where that starts and stops. So anyway, I'm just...
Well, I think partly after you said that too, I think it is the idea of a gateway, you know, which I think the arch and the columns form that a little more so. And there are, you know, the string lights that occur basically starting and stopping, mm-hmm. you know, near that. And so I think that helps... they tie in together a bit in terms of that the alley stops and starts with the lights and the arches, I think, is reinforcing that, I think, is part of the idea. But I mean, I can see the budget aspect. I'm not 100% sure. I think Rich said we basically set it, you know, we had moved the tables were all down the middle, and which was kind of a hazard. It was difficult for servers and controlling alcohol and all the stuff that comes with that. And so, and it was, you know, this narrow sidewalk that was trying to jam everybody down the side. So the way it's set up now, it's 10, 10, 10. It's a 30-foot wide space. It's 10, 10, 10. So that's kind of that archway sort of delineates that.
Sure.
Even though the dividers at this point aren't pulled, Voodoo opted out of having seating in that area. They moved their seating out into the plaza area.
Just consider it if it's merit. It might balance the street lights so you find an alternating sort of pattern where they're actually offset at each end. And, you know, sometimes the budget makes you do things that you don't want
to
do.
Never had to do that.
Just a thought.
I just wanted. Well, I was agreeing with Commissioner Minor about the relationship between the arch and the railings. Also, the cap of the railing doesn't match anything with the proposed arch. It's like there's no relationship between both. And if there's a way that you can actually relate them, or like, because they're gonna be next to each other, even though you can move them away from it, but they're still gonna relate to each other. This is a way that you can actually kind of connect the style of both.
Well, I think the steel and the black paint connects them to begin with, and if the you know, the one option is the steel columns, but it you know, sounds like there's desire to have them be the more ornate solid base, so that is completely different family than we have going on one's a fence and one's light or archway, so it isn't like they're exactly the same component. So
can I throw an idea out that might satisfy you? Is that the crossing in the railing design, maybe the arch is done more like a steel girder with that cross bracing, and then you add the letters to it. So, I mean, that's just a way of picking up the motif of that sort of industrial.
Well, it matches the historic photo that we were shown on third.
Right,
those arches,
exactly. Yeah.
I think that's, you know, I think we did do there were a number of different design schemes for that aspect of it. I mean, that the arch part, and some got, you know, tried to look like a bridge, and they got a little too much going on to compete. It was like, what, this isn't about, you know, so trying to, you know, the primary deal is to get it to be, get the information right, and is for a sign. And, but I, you know, I think putting a light lattice type truss across that might be pretty interesting. So,
and I don't know, maybe the laser cutting makes it more. Why did it? What was it decided not to do, the laser cutting versus the?
Well, I think, I don't know that the current I think the current thinking is that it'd be better to have people be able to read it from both sides, or take their pictures in front of it or wherever, instead of
having
it
backwards
on the other side. So I think that was sort of the where it kind of got landed, where it landed in terms of that. So, I mean, it's not like you can't interpolate that in your mind, I don't think, but I think that's the current thought anyway.
I don't have much to add to my fellow commissioners' comments. I think they're all, I think, good suggestions. I mean, I think that my preference, if money was no object, it would be a little bit, I think, of a broader sign, just because I think historically it was usually linked to, you know, the limits of the roadway, where it was just barely located on the sidewalks, it looked like. And it seemed like that dimension would fit, I think, a little bit better in this circumstance. But from a cost standpoint, it would, you know, increase the cost a little bit.
I totally agree with you, by the way. I didn't quite articulate in my brain, but yeah.
Yeah, and because, you know, 10 feet's pretty narrow when you start to really take a look at it. So if there's any way that you could somehow include it from curb to curb, as opposed to in the ride within the actual road surface, I think that would be a little bit bolder of a statement. Not, you know, being overwhelming or anything, but I think that from a scale standpoint, I think it would help.
I like that. I think at one point we did kick around the idea, can we mount, go building to building, basically, and there just wasn't a real comfortable, because of all those offsets, the way the corners are.
Right.
It became a difficult juxtaposition of trying to get the sign band to mount somewhere that made sense with the buildings also.
And, right.
But I doubt adding, I don't know if corner to corner might be challenging to figure out where the heck the posts are going to land, you know, but or the whole width of the 30 feet, there might be something in between that ends up being, you know, 16 feet or 18 feet or something like that. And
right.
I don't think that's going to wouldn't add a huge amount of cost to it. I mean, it's just a little more.
The roadway itself is 18 feet wide at this location. So.
I was going to add that if you later is going to pave, and that will change the layout, which is you're not going to have the sidewalk at the same areas, and that might help you with the spacing. Because right now you're guiding that for that, but your paving might change the design and later expand.
Yeah, that's a challenge. It's the paving right now, or the curbs only are 6 feet wide, so there's a gap between, and that's been a challenge to incorporate the seating areas with the with the sidewalks, because there's, it's just in the the slope of the paving is all over the place. The curbs are up and down and all that kind of stuff. So it's been, you know, our absolute desire would be to have a whole new surface in there, but it's been.
Yeah,
exactly. And right. It would have, the steel installers would have liked that better too, trust me.
That's going to be part of the... That's going to be part of the next phase. That will be good to incorporate and thinking on the size
connect
of that.
Location.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure.
I'm hearing some comments from commissioners that basically it tells me that you're looking for a more integrated approach with the columns and the barriers. Is that something that a majority of you are looking for, or are you comfortable with this being a separate element that's next to the existing barriers that sounds like they're intended to stay? Or are you hoping that there's a way that those barriers can be modified to hold at least one side, if not both?
I personally think that if, in fact, this, you know, becomes a two-pole archway that's wider, then it will stop looking so, you know, part of the railing system, because it won't, won't be on that spacing anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that will help. I also, you know, my fellow commissioners, a couple of them at least, have voiced that they like the stronger base more. And I would tend to agree with that. I think that also would tend to pull it away from the family of these railings. So, if those two things can occur, then I think it's okay for the railings to, not have to look like the archway, or the archway not have to look like the railings. Does anyone else think?
I would agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would just say that now the archway just looks a little bit temporary. It's just sort of being driven by the temporary, almost temporary looking enclosures on the street. Whereas mm-hmm. what you're talking about, this was a real entry into this urban space, and it's announcing that, and we're not quite getting that just because it's sort of squeezed onto the street.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then it's going to change a little bit because of the paving pattern. So, I guess that's what I think we're trying to say, I think. Mm-hmm.
And everyone's excited to see what the long-term vision is for what it's going to be. So that's part of what you're hearing.
No,
how's this going to fit with that? And how's this going to look with that?
You guys are offering to start a fundraising.
We'll make a public call now.
I would say, it seems to me, what would be great is almost to have like a master plan. Like really think about our long-term vision, and we can only fund one pole, but at least you have the master mm-hmm. plan funded and thought about and looked mm-hmm. at.
Yeah, we were looking at from people, how do we, because there's no street plan for Ankeny right now, so how do we develop a street plan long-term? So as development happens, I know we talked about that one block, I'm not sure where that's at anymore, down on between First and Second, coming in for development, and how do we, from Peabot, require the improvements we want, not our standard like street section. So we are looking, unfortunately, we're only in the historic district up to Third, and then we're in design review for the rest of the area, but looking at how do we create the unified space that has some kind of long-term street standards that as developed, because there's a lot of development potential along this whole corridor for redevelopment. Yeah. So we look at how do those impact what gets built in the future.
Can I ask one more question? Would the commission be open to a building-to-building arch that didn't have poles but connected to historic buildings, some of which are landmarks?
I'd be concerned
about
that.
I'm less apt to have that myself, yeah.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a little worrisome.
Can I ask one more question, too? I want to follow up on something that Commissioner Mahoney asked, and in the back of my mind, how many non-vehicular streets does PDOT administer? And at some point, would you like to get something like this out of your portfolio altogether? And does it become another bureau or a private issue? I mean, when does it not become I'm very naive. That's it may sound so in that question, but
I think with the passing of our livable street strategy that we are looking at, you know, how do we create more basically people streets?
Yeah.
You know, because vehicles is not our only mode of transportation we're worried about.
Good.
We're concerned about, you know, these. By the way, we reconfigured this. This makes it better access for pedestrians and bicycles and things like that.
I'm very happy to hear that. So,
so we, I think long term, I know a lot of cities, when they've created these spaces, they turn them over to like their Parks Bureau. But, you know, at this point, it's PBOT's plan to kind of own and manage these spaces as and develop more in the future. So.
Good.
Okay. All right. Do you feel like you've gotten some good direction from us? Or?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. We greatly appreciate you all coming down and letting us know about this project.
Thanks for your feedback. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Sure. Right. Thank you for your time.
Yep. Okay.